Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Here on Lingua Franca, I'm Maria Zylstra with the first in Radio National's summer season and another chance to listen to Shelley Gare ruminating on her suspicions that the kind of language that airheads use can rot your brains. A journalist, columnist and a former deputy editor of the Australian newspaper, Shelley Gare was founding editor of that publication's Review of Books. In her own book, The Triumph of the Airheads and the Retreat from Common Sense, she's analysed how the hype of media consumerism and the obsession with lifestyle rather than substance now dominates so much of what we think and talk about, as well as having corrupted how we communicate with each other, especially among young people. And while it is kind of funny to hear the language of Homer Simpson and his son Bart emulated by teenage boys like with huh or though, it isn't so when they think it passes for verbal communication. Teenage girls, typically more enthusiastic talkers, tend to use a wider range of expressions borrowed from American TV shows such as, like, oh my God, that is so last year. But as Shelley Gare points out, these days we're all susceptible to airhead language and empty-headed thinking, in this her exposition of how language tells us about ourselves.
I went to kindergarten in the late 1950s in Geraldton, a small coastal town about 400 kilometres north of Perth. Improbably, for that fishing and farming area, and in those parochial and insular times, my kindergarten teacher was an English gentlewoman in her 50s who spoke with a cut-glass accent. I wonder now what she was even doing in our town. Anyhow, as a result, I picked up some of her accent, and I've never lost it. It means I speak with this English-Australian twang. I can't help it. No one else in my family speaks like this. I've often wondered how many of my fellow kindergarten pupils grew up with the same alien tones. At that stage in life, of course, children are learning speech patterns and picking up vocabulary. They are natural mimics. They echo what they hear. And of course, some of us, depending on our ear, do that even more than others. A few years ago, I noticed that the small children I was meeting, courtesy of my family raising friends, were also speaking with odd accents and intonations. But this time, the accent was American. And the intonations were straight out of sitcoms, like Friends and Everybody Loves Raymond. These children had been doused in an auditory environment that very often consisted of flip American slang, exclamations and vernacular. Then I gradually realised it wasn't just the kids. Phrases crept into our laconic Australian speech and went from being either exotic or ironic to downright commonplace. I mean, phrases and words like hello, duh, totally, and oh my God. Even the shy, unobtrusive little word so was dragged into the limelight. I so don't want to go to that party tonight. I am so over gloss lipstick or balsamic vinegar. Or even, as one mature-aged woman of my acquaintance said on the morning of her birthday, according to her husband's own speech that night, I so don't want to be 60. The American film Clueless, starring Alicia Silverstone and directed by Amy Heckerling, provided an early visual and verbal snapshot of the new tone. Clueless, which came out in 1995, was about a wealthy, feather-brained, if well-meaning Los Angeles teenager and was based on the plot of Jane Austen's Emma. 13 years earlier, in 1982, Heckerling had directed Fast Times at Ridgemont High, another seminal movie, again about clueless teenagers in California trying to make sense of life. Sean Penn's Jeff Spicoli was particularly memorable as a dopey, dope-addled surfy given to cheerful, nasal yuck-yucking like, hey, bud, let's party. Whoa, awesome. And I'm so wasted. Words like bogus, dude, and totally dot the script. In Clueless, the main character, Cher, chats away to her film audience in voiceover. Seriously, I actually have a way normal life for a teenage girl, she says, before using a computerized wardrobe system to work out what to wear to school that day. I love both these movies because they're sending up a special kind of airheaded teenage vacuity and doing it brilliantly. They're both very funny movies. Also in 1982, Frank Zappa and his daughter Moon Unit did the same thing with their hit song, Valley Girl, a song that sent up the San Fernando Valley girls, their brainless conversations and mindless shopping habits. But in the end, the joke's on us and on heckling, because now too many of us talk like characters out of Clueless, Fast Times and Valley Girl. In other words, we talk like airheads. I know 4-year-olds who talk like this, and 36-year-old businessmen too. President Bush has the timing and phrasing of a superb sitcom actor. Even Rupert Murdoch, one of the most powerful and wealthy men on the planet, is sometimes susceptible. The aim, I think, is to appear breezy, casual, fun, with it, and most of all, young. Or in other words, not old. We so don't want to grow up and get old. In that way, given what's happened to learning, education and knowledge amongst the young in the last 25 years, this is also the language of ignorance that is breezily unashamed to be ignorant. Postmodernism, in the half-baked form in which it has permeated Western culture, insists that all knowledge is equal and that there are no hierarchies. You can study Shakespeare, or you can, as South Australian Year 12 students are about to, you can study the language of SMS messaging, and so the young these days are often seriously uninformed, and it's not their fault. One second-year university student told an academic I interviewed for my book, "I wouldn't be able to tell you the names of all the Australian state capitals." Another visiting lecturer to a New South Wales university commented, "Not one of the 33 second-year university students attending my arts lecture had ever heard of China's Chairman Mao." In such times, airhead language is perfectly acceptable to an increasingly larger proportion of the population. The phrases say, "We're all in this together." They also hint at a kind of hipness. There's a touch of street cred even. The language of the airhead is also about something else, and it's something which appeals very much to egalitarian Australians. It says, "I'm not putting on any airs. I'm not trying to make myself look superior. I don't have tickets on myself." But taken to the extremes that we're hearing today, it's also saying, "Everyone can talk like a dumb clock, and that's okay, like totally." In one scene in Fast Times, a fast-thinking, savvy senior teacher fastens on something that surfing dude Jeff Spicoli has said when he is asked why he is always late for class. Spicoli says he doesn't know. "I like that," says the teacher. He then writes, "I don't know," on the blackboard, and tells Spicoli that he will leave it on his blackboard for all his classes to enjoy and, of course, give him full credit for the saying. It's not that big a jump from Spicoli's 1982 utterance, "I don't know," to the now ubiquitous response, "Whatever." Again, the word "whatever" signifies easiness, being relaxed, being open-minded even. And boy, how important those qualities now supposedly are. I recently saw on a lamppost in Sydney's inner-city Darlinghurst area an advertisement for someone to share a house. I was struck by the qualities needed. The successful applicant would be fun, easygoing, and reliable. Nothing wrong with the last, of course. We all like people who pay their bills, remember to lock doors, and buy in their fair share of milk. But why does someone have to be fun, easygoing? Can't they be good, serious, different? As playwright George Bernard Shaw famously pointed out, it's the unreasonable people who change the world. It's the difficult, querulous, cranky and cantankerous who care passionately enough about things to question and make the world think differently. If you want someone with whom to go out and buy an ice cream, choose someone who is fun, easygoing and who is so relaxed that the word "whatever" is their default position. But if you want someone to change the world, the words "whatever" and "fun" and "easygoing" aren't going to do it. What you need there is passion. You need intensity. And now we are getting closer to what I distrust and fear about the language of airheadism. It's essentially about accepting the status quo. It's about laziness. It's about opting out from being an adult with adult responsibilities and choices. Crucially, it's about detachment. It's about deciding that the best way to get on in the increasingly complex, challenging and downright threatening 21st century, with all its technological and social change, and its atmosphere of looming menace and crisis, is to shrug and retreat to the wide-eyed, innocent, ignorant stance of the adolescent. But that's a privilege afforded adolescents. It shouldn't describe the rest of us. I believe the language of airheadism has permeated our culture so successfully because it is a way of opting out. And opting out in a way that has become perfectly acceptable because it looks cool. It's cool not to get stressed or intense. It's cool to, you know, like, chill. But everything comes with a price. Empty-headed talk begets empty heads, and eventually empty hearts. If no one ever gets intense about the issues of the day or discusses them with real knowledge, if it's more important to be laid back and jokey rather than intense and challenging, then we're on a slippery, slidey continuum that may take us anywhere. Maintaining a civilized society where everyone is respected takes effort, concentration, work, diligence, and let me use that unfashionable word again, it takes passion. That is the very opposite of how an airhead goes about his or her life. It shows up in our language, which, like a physical shrug or the verbal whatever, is increasingly becoming dismissive. I interviewed face-to-face, or voice-to-voice, over 150 people for my book The Triumph of the Airheads and The Retreat from Common Sense. And one of the most poignant interviews was with Melbourne historian Mark Peel. Mark Peel wrote the haunting book The Lowest Rung, Voices of Australian Poverty. Talking about that book, he said to me, "What hurts people in poverty most is the disrespect they've learned to expect from others." He is now working on a book about social work and charity in the 20s and 30s and has been examining our use of language then and now. He says that the political speech of today is mirroring the way people used to talk in the 20s. He means by that that powerful people openly use phrases such as dull-bludgers, no-hopers, and people who don't count. He said to me of this acceptance that we talk about losers, that in the 20s there was the suspicion of the poor, and you can see that in the social workers' case files of the time. There was this idea about finding the liar, finding the fraud. They didn't see poverty as being to do with disaster or vulnerability. It was only as the Depression intensified and poverty started to affect the caseworkers themselves in their own private lives that they realised the truth. The 20s also had its frivolous, empty-headed language, like snuggle pup, the cat's pyjamas and the bee's knees. Some of that decade's language has resurfaced today. Absolutely. Attaboy, baby, edge, and even grungy, although then that meant being envious. Language tells us about ourselves. Airhead language pretends the world is like a scoop of vanilla ice cream in a vanilla milkshake. It's about blandness, blending in, not causing offence, having fun all the time. That's not a natural state for human beings. It can only be achieved by becoming disengaged from what is happening around us. There are enormous dangers there, as historian Mark Peel has revealed, so I'll finish with a quote from George Bernard Shaw. It's from a play, The Devil's Disciple, first produced in 1897 on the cusp of the most brutal century in history. Shaw wrote, "The worst sin towards our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. That's the essence of inhumanity." As I discovered through the very simple act of acquiring an ersatz BBC accent in coastal Western Australia, we are always influenced profoundly by what's around us. Accent is one thing, that can be superficial. But what we actually say is all too often what we turn out to be.
Shelley Gare, replayed from a Lingua Franca broadcast earlier this year. Her book, The Triumph of the Airheads and the Retreat from Common Sense, is published by Park Street Press. And Mark Peel's book, to which Shelley referred, is The Lowest Rung, Voices of Australian Poverty, from the Cambridge University Press. On next week's Christmas edition of Lingua Franca, do join me for another broadcast highlight from the past year, Rodney Wetherill on the language of the Book of Common Prayer, the Liturgy of the Anglican Church. I'm Maria Zylstra, here on ABC Radio National.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. all the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.